If you have a Bible, appreciate you turning there with me. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to learn a little bit more about our wonderful Savior this evening. Matthew chapter number 14. And a little bit more about what it means to trust in Him by faith. Matthew chapter number 14. Last Sunday night we looked at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, very well-known miracle in the Bible. And tonight we're looking at a miracle that's just as well-known, that happens straight after the feeding of the 5,000. And we'll find this next miracle in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 29. Matthew chapter 14, let's begin in verse 22. Please follow along with me. The Bible says, "And straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for your living Word which rests within our hands this evening. Lord, thank you that the Word of God is able to reach down into the innermost depths of our soul. And Lord, you're able to speak to us in a way, Lord, that only you can. Lord, you know the needs of our hearts this evening. Lord, you know the needs of our lives. Lord, you know what you are doing and working in our lives to help us to grow in faith this year. Father, we pray that we would see a fresh and encouraging vision of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to look unto him tonight as the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help our faith to be rested in the truths and promises of your word, that Lord, as you call us to step out into the storms of life, Lord, we would do so by faith and experience your power and your presence with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this series on the miracles of Christ, I'm sure you'd agree with me that every time we find the Lord performing a miracle, he was busy working hard, wasn't he? He was exhausted. I mean, think about the last miracle we saw on Sunday night, the feeding of the 5,000. Do you remember what the Bible told us? We read that the Lord wanted to go into a desert place apart. He wanted to rest. He wanted to have some time alone. But what happened? The multitudes followed him, didn't they? The multitudes wanted more. And as we sang this evening in the last hymn, you know, did anyone ever find the Lord forsake him? No, not one. Amen. What a wonderful truth. The Lord's love was so great. He never rejected anyone. He never cast anyone out. And that's the same with the Lord this evening, is it not? He invites all to come to him, to come to him for salvation, to come to him for rest and peace in the Christian life. And the Lord invited all those to come to him, and after they were fed, after their bellies were full, not only with the word of God and the miracles of God and the food of God, he sent them home. And the Lord, at this stage, used this opportunity to perform another miracle. Remember, just as much as he was proving that he is in fact God in the flesh by performing the miraculous that no man could possibly do except for God, not only was he proving himself and his words to be true, but he was also preparing a rough, ragtag group of 12 disciples, fishermen. From all sorts of walks of life, these 12 disciples were following the Lord, and he was preparing them for a time, wasn't he? That when he would leave, They would take the message of salvation and spread it out throughout the world. And I'm glad that they did. Amen. That's why we're here this evening rejoicing. And the Lord was preparing them. And that's what he was doing. Remember how he used that miracle to do what? To prove them. The feeding of the 5,000. Remember, he used that miracle to prove them, to see what they would do. He knew what he would do, but he wanted to see what his disciples believed, where they thought the food would come from, whom they were trusting in. Now we see another trial, another difficulty brought into the disciples' lives. Why? To test them once again. And I think this year we're learning, aren't we, that life is a series of tests, a series of trials, a series of lessons, if you will, to encourage you and I as Christians to grow in our faith, to learn to trust Him more. So tonight we're going to look at the miracle of Christ walking on water. Now there's so much in these passages to look at. We're going to have to look at this miracle in a few different parts over the next few weeks. But tonight we're going to look at two main thoughts. First of all, notice the watching Savior. The watching Savior. We see the Lord go into a mountain apart. And now why did he go up to that mountain? He went there to pray. Have you ever wondered what was he praying for? What was the Lord Jesus Christ praying for up in that mountain? We know he sent his disciples away to go over the sea in the boat. And they may have been wondering, how is the Lord Jesus going to come across? We're going in the boat and he usually comes with us, but he's gone up into a mountain. I wonder how he's going to cross the Sea of Galilee. Now, while the Lord Jesus Christ was praying, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter number 6, as we compare different accounts, that he saw them as he was praying. Mark chapter 6, notice they're with me. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Verse 47 says, when the evening was come, and the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, notice verse 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. So notice that in the evening, while the Lord Jesus was praying, he saw them. You see, the disciples were not out of sight or out of mind. As the Lord was praying, he saw the storm they were in. Would you agree with me tonight? The Lord knew that they were heading into a storm. I mean, he is God. He sent them across the sea at that time of the night for a reason. For a reason to test them once again. For a reason to try them. The reason to see whether they truly believe what they saw in the feeding of the 5,000, that he is the Lord. So he tested them once again. But notice what the Lord was doing. He was praying and he saw them. Now, when did the Lord go to them? As we turn back to Matthew chapter 14. Thank you for turning there with me as we look at a few different verses. Matthew chapter 14, back where we were. Notice verse number 25. The Bible says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now in that day, the day was broken up into different watches, different sections, if you will. And in the fourth watch of the night, that was the time between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It was already the next day. The evening had passed, but it was still dark, and it was coming to sunrise. And that's when the Lord was walking on the water to his disciples. Perhaps he was walking out to them at the very end of the night. And as he was walking on the water, we understand that at that time of day, it was the end. And we ask ourselves, well, what was the Lord doing? Well, he was praying all night. What were the disciples doing? They were toiling in the boat. They were struggling against the sea. You know, in the Sea of Galilee, it was a place well known for storms, because the Sea of Galilee lies within a valley with mountains surrounding it, and fierce winds would descend over the mountains into the sea and would stir up huge storms. It'd be hard to imagine when you see photos of the Sea of Galilee, so flat, so smooth, but it was a notorious place for storms. So there was the disciples battling against the wind that was going in the opposite direction to where they needed to head. They were struggling. They were toiling. And where was the Lord? Do you remember last time the Lord was with them in the storm? Where was he? He was in the boat, wasn't he? He was with them. Now this time, the Lord sent them to go ahead. And he wasn't with them. What was the Lord doing? Why did he allow this to happen? Well, I would suggest to you this evening that the Lord was testing them once again. And he wanted to show his disciples that though he was not with them in his presence on the boat, he was still with them. He was still with them in spirit. He was still with them in prayer. I believe as we look at the separate accounts, we see the Lord on the mountain, separated from his disciples, yet he was still with his disciples. He was still praying for his disciples. He was still praying that their faith would fail not. Do you remember what he said to the disciple Peter just before the Lord was crucified? Do you remember how he said to Peter? He said, "Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. Satan's going to attack you after I'm taken." But what did he say then? "But I have prayed for you. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." He was praying for Peter already before the trial came up in his life. And he said to Peter, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying that your faith will fail not. Yes, you'll face the storm ahead. Yes, there'll be times of fear and doubt and despair and even denial. But when you've turned back to me, I want you to strengthen the brethren." And he was praying for Peter. He was praying that his faith would fail not. And I believe that's what we see here on the mountaintop in the watching Saviour. There was the Lord on the mountain praying for his disciples. Not just watching from a distance, but he was praying for them. And what an encouraging picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Do you realize as his children, he prays for us? Now we know that as Christians, we pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you know the scripture tells us that he prays for us? Notice Hebrews chapter number 7. Notice verse 25. Now this is something we often forget as Christians. That's why so often when the storms brew up in our life and the trials come our way and we are tossed about by the winds and we begin to fear and we begin to panic, so often we do so because we forget about the Lord. We forget about who he is in our life and what he is doing. Notice chapter 7 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Wherefore he," the Lord Jesus, "is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make," what's the next word? "Intercession for them." Now there's two parts to verse 25. There's the salvation and then there's the security. In verse 25, the Bible says that anyone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ is able to be saved. What a wonderful truth. The Bible says if we would simply admit before God that we are sinners, we can be saved. The Bible says very clearly, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." None of us have met God's standard of perfection. We've all broken his laws. We've all sinned against God. The Bible tells us that lying is a sin. The Bible tells us that lustful thoughts are just like committing the act of adultery. The Bible tells us that hateful thoughts in our hearts are just like committing the act of murder in our hearts. The Lord Jesus tells us very clearly that we are all sinners before a holy God. Now, next to you and I, and compared with each other, we're pretty good people. Why? Because we're all the same. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. But next to a holy God, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to stand next to me, would you agree that he is holy and I am not? Absolutely, because he is sinless. And so the Bible tells us we're all sinners. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a Savior from sin. Because we've sinned against God. Because we've broken his laws. As lawbreakers, we deserve to pay the punishment for the crime. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. That's what we have earned from sin against the Lord. That's what we deserve to pay, the sin debt payment of death. But the good news is, the Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came down to become the living debt payment for you and I. He went to an old rugged cross and in his body on that tree, he shed his holy blood to pay for your sins and mine once and for all. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. So you and I don't need to fear death and eternal separation in the lake of fire from God. No, we can repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And when we do, verse 25 tells us, he saves us to the uttermost. He saves us from our sins once and for all, forever. Our past, present, future sins are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful truth? I trust there's been a time in your life where you've repented of your sins and you've put your faith in Christ alone to save you once and for all. See, He is able. He is willing. He is inviting. But we need to come to Him for salvation. Isn't that what verse 25 says? Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. There is no other way to get to God. There is no other salvation in the world except through Jesus Christ. He is the one that paid for our sins. But notice the second half. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is what we often forget about. Once we are saved, He intercedes for us. The Bible describes the Lord Jesus, once we are saved, as our advocate. Like a lawyer in a courtroom, though we are guilty before the judge and we deserve the punishment, He stands in the place of our lawyer and He declares to the judge that we are innocent. Amen. On what basis? Of something that we have done? No, we are guilty because of what we have done. But we are innocent, He declares, because of what He has done. Because we have received Him as Savior. And He is our advocate. He is our intercessor. And He ever liveth, notice in verse 25, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Well, what does that mean? The Lord prays for us. He prays for us. What a comforting thought that in the time of trial and difficulty, when oftentimes you and I feel that we are alone and we are alone in the storm and in the darkness and in the cold and we are alone in this trial that we are in, what a comforting truth to know that the Lord is with us and in fact He is praying for us. That's the picture we see of the Lord on the mountaintop, you see. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is our hope and our comfort. And He is praying for us that our faith would fail not. Did you know that the Lord Jesus is praying for you? Oftentimes we ask one another to pray for each other. And that's a blessing and we ought to. But never forget, the Lord is praying for you. You'll never need to ask the Lord to pray for you. Because He's praying for you. He's praying that you would be strengthened. He's praying that you would go forward in faith. What a comforting thought. What a comforting truth. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And friends, the only way that you and I can be comforted by Christ's presence in the storm is by faith. Why? Because we can't see Him. If you were to look around, you can't see the Lord. But by faith we can. The Bible says He stands at the right hand of the throne of God, robed in glory as our advocate, as our intercessor, in all glory and honor and power. And what is He doing by the throne of God? He is praying for us. He is interceding for us. You know, the disciples could not see the Lord in the storm. Maybe they thought He had abandoned them. He had left them to the mercies of the sea. Though they could not see the Lord, would you agree that the Lord could see them? He was watching them. Not only that, but He was praying for them. Let me encourage you next time you face the storms of life. Friend, you do not face them alone. You do not face them in fear, but you can have a wonderful, encouraging hope in the Lord that He is with you and He is praying for you. That's the picture of the watching Savior on the Mount. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 14 for a moment. Matthew chapter 14. Not only was the Lord praying for them, but notice the Lord came to them. The Bible says that in the fourth watch, probably close to the morning, verse number 25 says that He went unto them, Matthew 14, verse 25, He went unto them walking on the sea. Notice the Lord was praying for them, but He also went unto them. He went out to them. And then He spoke to them, notice in verse number 27, while they were fearing, while they were panicking, the Lord said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You see, understanding the Lord's presence with us in the storm is the truth that will comfort you and I in that trial. See, if we fail to see that the Lord Jesus is with us, we will be afraid. We will not be of good cheer. But His Word declares to us, yes, I am with you. I am with you always. And isn't that the promise He gave to His disciples before He left? This is how He was preparing them. Though He wasn't with them physically, He wanted them to know He was present with them spiritually, because one day He would ascend to the right hand of the throne of God, but He would still be with them. And He would send them into all the world, and He was preparing them. And as Christians today, we understand the Lord is with us. And what we need to do is listen to His voice, the voice of His promise, the voice of His Word that we have in our hands. Friends, the Lord speaks to us, and it's His words that scatter all fear away when we are in the midst of the storm, when we are struggling against the winds that are contrary. Have you ever felt you were in the midst of a trial and everything was going against you? Have you ever been there before? And then you thought to yourself, this is the end. We're going under. I'm going under. I wonder where the Lord is. And the wonderful truth we see this evening is the Lord is with us. He's right there. He's praying for us. And we need to understand that the Lord is with us, and He will help us in a time of need. How do we know? Because He tells us so. He tells us in His Word, it is I, be not afraid. Where is our hope and our comfort? It's in the Lord, His presence with us. And as He walked along the sea, can you imagine for a moment, looking out to this roaring storm where the wind and the waves are about to capsize this boat, and out in the distance they see the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water. And there's the Lord. Though the storm is horrendously tumultuous, if you will, there's the Lord walking gracefully and majestically and powerfully along those waters as if there was no storm. There's the Lord approaching them in peace and comfort. And you know, many times you and I are like the disciples, aren't we? Absolutely. We forget that the Lord is with us, and we cry out in fear and panic. And there, just like in verse number 26, they saw Him walking on the sea and they didn't recognize Him. Isn't it true? So often we don't recognize that the Lord is present with us in the storm. We don't recognize He's right there. And we cry out in fear and panic, and yet He's still with us. He hasn't abandoned us. And what we need to do is hear His Word. We need to hear His Word of hope and comfort and cheer, because He loves us, He speaks to us, and we understand from what we see in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus will do the miraculous. Friends, He will walk on water to get to you and I to deliver us from our fears. Amen. He will walk on water to you and I to deliver us from our fears. What a wonderful picture of our Savior, wouldn't you agree? A Savior that so often we forget. You know, we could jump very quickly to Peter walking on the water, but He did that for a reason. The reason is what we're looking at right now, the Lord. The reason is his faith in the Lord. See, the Lord was preparing His disciples. And for every trial He sends your way and mine, He's preparing us. He's helping you and I to grow. And we need to see this evening that He prays for you. He prays for me. What an amazing thought that the God of the universe, who I have sinned against, who you have sinned against, who He in His mercy alone has saved us from our sins, takes the time, the care, the love to pray for us. And by the way, He knows your greatest need. He knows the need of this hour. He knows when you and I are in the storm. And He wants us to trust in Him. Let me encourage you to spend some time in His Word. It is I. Be not afraid. That's a great memory verse, isn't it? Amen. Just to memorize that little piece of Scripture. It is I. Be not afraid. Hang on. If the Lord is with me, whom shall I fear? Amen. If the Lord is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Who can be against us, or what can be against us? That is our watching Savior, present in our lives, powerful to calm our fears. Romans 8:39 says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a loving Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior. Thank God He is always with us. So that's the watching Savior. Now that leads to this next part of the miracle. which is Peter walking on the water by faith. And here we learn what it means to walk by faith in the midst of the storm. Now, would you agree it's one thing for the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, who made the sea, who made the earth, to walk on water? It's one thing for him to do that, but it's another thing for Peter to do that. Now, this is amazing. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28. Notice Peter's fears suddenly turn to faith. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." You see, when you and I recognize the Lord's presence in our life, fear will start to disappear. Fear will start to flee away. You see, where there's faith, there is no fear. But where there's fear, there is no faith. And we need to recognize the Lord's presence in our life. And Peter saw the Lord. He didn't see a spirit. He wasn't crying out for fear and he wasn't terrified because he thought it was a ghost. He saw the Lord. And he asked the Lord a question. He said, "Lord, if it's you, can I come out onto the water to walk with you?" And what an amazing question for Peter to ask. And Peter asked such a question because he knew that the Lord was before him. Peter wanted to jump out of the boat into the water. And what lessons can we learn about walking by faith in the midst of the storm? Well, notice first of all, faith means waiting for the Lord's command. Peter asked the Lord a question, didn't he? Did he just jump out of the boat, yes or no? He may have wanted to. As you know, Peter was impulsive. He was very self-confident at times, and he always, as we often say, he suffered the affliction of the dreaded foot-in-mouth disease. Oftentimes, he spoke before he thought, and that was Peter. And by the way, as imperfect as he was, the Lord used him in an amazing way. And see, he's preparing us too, as imperfect and rough as you and I are. The Lord is able to use us. And this was a testing time for Peter. Now, as Peter asked this question, we need to understand that he asked the Lord, "Lord, can I come out of the boat?" And we understand and learn that faith means waiting for the Lord's command. It means waiting for the Lord to speak. See, during times of trial, would you agree with me, we can all make some silly decisions. When you and I are facing difficulties in our life, we need to be very careful to not step out of the will of God. We need to be very careful to ask the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Because in the storm, so often we're dealing and battling with the flesh, with fears and with anxieties and with worries. And we have faith in the Lord. We know He's present with us. And we begin to pray and we say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" But when we do, we need to wait for the Lord's answer. So often we fear, and those fears lead us to panic, and then we make some silly decisions. What do you think would have happened if Peter just jumped out of the boat without the Lord inviting him to come? What would have happened? Well, he probably would have sunk like a rock, you know? That would have been probably what would have happened. Because he didn't know whether the Lord wanted him to not. He wasn't walking. He would have been trusting in himself and not walking by faith. So let me encourage you in seeing that if we are to walk by faith, we need to wait for the Lord's command. We need to wait for His word. And you know, your plans and mine, our desires, even our dreams, even if they are spiritual, are doomed to fail if we don't wait on the Lord's command. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now, the word wait doesn't mean sit there and do nothing. It means to actively trust in the promises of God. It means to trust in the Lord and wait for His answer to that request. Waiting on the Lord. And while we do that, He will strengthen our heart. During that time of waiting, He will strengthen our faith. But let me encourage you, don't step out of the boat if it's not the Lord's will. Amen? You see, he asked the Lord, "Lord, do you want me to step out?" And that was a good question. He didn't just make a decision to jump out of the boat. He said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to come and he invited him to come. So that's one lesson about walking by faith. Faith means waiting for the Lord's command. Amen. If we're just doing what we want, it's not by faith. It's by sight.
That's right.
It's by feeling. It's by fear. Faith means waiting for the Lord's command. Notice next, faith means stepping out at the Lord's command. Verse 29 says, and he said, what did the Lord say to Peter? Come. He said to Peter, come. Notice verse 29. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. So Peter had asked the Lord, Lord, what can I come? Lord, I want to come out on the water to walk with you. I want to walk by faith. And the Lord said to Peter, come. So would you agree? Now Peter knew what the Lord wanted him to do. Would you agree? There wasn't any doubt. Wasn't any fear. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do. He'd taken that step of faith to ask the Lord, Lord, can I come? But here's the problem. In order to walk by faith, he had to make another step of faith, which is to step out at the Lord's command. You see, it's one thing to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? But it's another thing to then hear from the Lord and then make a choice to do what he wants you to do. That's another step of faith entirely, altogether. And in fact, that's where the rubber meets the road. See, until you and I are willing to step out by faith at the Lord's command, we will continue to fear. Until you and I are willing to step out of the boat, we know what he wants us to do, and we make that step of faith, trusting in the Lord, we will continue to fear. We will continue to worry. You see, faith means stepping out at the Lord's command. You know, I think about Peter and I think about the fact that when he was in the boat and the Lord said, come, sometimes we picture that, you know, somehow he was surrounded by a bubble of serenity and peacefulness. What was happening around him? The waves were continuing to billow. The wind was continuing to blow. The storms were continuing to rage. Folks, he was still in the middle of the storm. He was still in the trial. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do. And when he knew what the Lord wanted him to do, he could have looked around for a second and gone, man, I wish I never asked the Lord what to do. Because now I know what he wants me to do and I don't want to do it. Because the winds are still blowing. The circumstances are completely the opposite to what I think will be the best for me. And I'm thinking to my, you know, he's thinking to himself, well, this doesn't look good. I don't see how this is going to work out. You know, that's what Peter could have done. He could have looked at the circumstances around him, and on the one hand he sees the wind and the waves, and on the other hand he knows the Lord wants him to step out of the boat. And there, my friends, is the crossroad of faith. We live by sight or we live by faith. We know what the Lord wants us to do, but the step of faith is in obeying. It means stepping out at the Lord's command, and it means doing it quickly. You see, so often we worry when the Lord wants us to step out. So often we hesitate. And faith, friends, if we are going to live by faith, we need to understand that faith means stepping out at his word. In whatever area the Lord has been speaking to you about recently, you know what he wants you to do. Maybe it was something in the message this morning. Maybe something about the home, a decision to be made, husbands and wives and your families, children, teenagers, whatever the Lord, you know what he wants you to do. Friends, we're not living by faith until we step out in that area. We're not living by faith until we obey the Lord in that area. We're just living by faith. Well, we're just hearing and not doing. We're just listeners and not followers. We're just spectators and not disciples. We need to understand faith means stepping out at the Lord's command. That's what faith truly is. And thank God we have a Saviour who will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And if he calls us to come, friends, we are in the safety of the Lord. Amen? We are in the protection of his love. We need to understand that the Lord would never ask us to do anything that will be bad for us. He's always working in our life for good. That's a promise of God. But the question is, are we willing to trust him to look after us as we step out by faith in the midst of the storm, though the winds and the waves are still raging around us? though our hearts may feel faint, friends, what will we do in that moment? Will we step out by faith? Will we trust the Lord? Well, if we do, we'll see the third lesson in our lives unfold, which is this. Faith not only means waiting for the Lord's command and stepping out of the Lord's command, but thirdly, it means experiencing the power of God. Faith means experiencing the power of God. Verse 29 tells us, and when Peter was come down, notice when he obeyed the Lord. When? Not before. He did not see anything happen before. When, in the very moment he took that step of faith to step out at the Lord's command, immediately, what do we find? He was walking on the water. The miraculous took place in Peter's life. The miraculous took place. The unbelievable took place. You see, suddenly, Peter took that step of faith and he was walking, would you agree, on miracle ground. He wasn't walking in the water. He was walking on the water. What an amazing miracle. Peter walked on water. How? Because he was walking by faith. And friends, when you and I are trusting in ourselves, we will fall every single time. But in that moment when you and I choose to trust in the Lord, what happens? Well, just what we see in this living picture in Matthew 14. What happens when you and I step out by faith? We suddenly enter into the miraculous, supernatural life of faith that the Lord wants us all to experience. See, He doesn't want you and I as Christians to live a life of fear. He doesn't want us to live a life of unbelief. No, the life He has called us to live is what kind of life? The just shall live by faith. And so often the opportunities for faith are the Lord brings them into our life time and time again. And so often we refuse to step out. And we refuse to step out. And no wonder we experience very little of the miraculous power of God in our lives. Why? Because He's calling us to come. He's waiting for us to step out by faith. He wants to prove Himself strong in our lives. He wants to prove Himself faithful and trustworthy and loving. That's why we need to step out. When you and I step out by faith, we experience the power of God. We join the Lord in the miraculous. That's what happens when we step out. Faith results in experiencing the power of God. Would you agree? That's exciting. That is exciting. That is what that truth ought to revive your heart when you find yourself in the storm. This is an opportunity for faith. This is an opportunity to experience the miraculous hand of God in my life. Now, how many of you think it was exciting for Peter to walk on water? Absolutely. But remember, the storm was still raging. It didn't go away. Stepping out by faith doesn't mean the storm evaporates immediately. No, it means you and I trusting the Lord, doing what He desires us to do, though the storm is still raging around us. Though the winds are contrary. Though everything looks like it is against us, our vision, our sight is upon the Lord. See, the Christian life is an exciting life. But it's only exciting, exclusively, if we live by faith. If we're not, it's like climbing a mountain with no oxygen. It's like trying to climb Mount Everest, as we've spoken about, without any oxygen. We're left gasping and empty for breath. And we're weak and we are suffocating. Because the life that God has called us to live and the oxygen that He gives us to breathe is the oxygen of faith. Faith is our... Faith is how we breathe and live in Jesus Christ. If we are not living by faith, friends, we are gasping for breath. But once you and I step one step at a time by faith forwards to the Lord, we find that we are walking on miracle ground. The Lord is able to revive. See, the Christian life is an adventure. It is exciting. It's wonderful. But it must be lived by faith. You know, I think about witnessing. Brother Andy and I had the blessing of going out on Saturday, and I can tell you after 10 years of door knocking, every time you go out, it's a step of faith. It's like getting out of the car, it's like getting out of the boat. The Lord is saying, come, I want to do the miraculous. I want to show you how I can use you. I want you to see the miraculous. But we're in the car and I'm thinking, I don't really feel like getting out right now. Brother Andy, I don't really feel like going to the door and what's going to happen and all the fears. But what does the Lord call us to do? Well, just step out. Just go to that door and smile and introduce yourself and talk about the Lord with someone perhaps who has never heard about the gospel of salvation. And what an exciting thing when you go to the door and you meet people at the door who haven't heard the gospel or maybe need to hear it again, and the Lord is using you. Friends, that is miracle ground. And the Lord wants to show us His miraculous work. He wants to use us, but it takes a step of faith. Step out of the boat. To step out of the comfort of the boat, if you will. The somewhat security of the boat. So that the Lord can show us His miraculous power. Not only to use us, but His miraculous power to save. You know, then we think about serving the Lord. You know, you might be here tonight and you might say, look, I've got nothing to offer the Lord. Well, at the moment of your salvation, He implanted within your very being the spiritual gifts He has given to you to enable you to serve the Lord in a miraculous way. But you see, those gifts are never, never, ever engaged or activated, if you will, if I can use that word, until we step out by faith. Until we step out by faith to serve the Lord. Playing in the orchestra is a step of faith. Amen? Song leading is a step of faith. Ministering in different areas in the church is a step of faith. The faith to believe that God has equipped me with spiritual gifts. He has put me in this church for a purpose. And when we do start to serve the Lord, suddenly we see Him leading us into His perfect will for our lives. Suddenly we see Him using us in a miraculous way, in a supernatural way, within the church and with other brethren, with the lost friends. The reality is He has given us spiritual gifts, but so often we don't use them. Because we're not willing to take that step of faith to say, yes, I want to serve the Lord and I will serve the Lord. Peter wanted to step out. He asked the Lord, what would you have me to do? And when the Lord said, come, he had to make a choice. Thank the Lord, he stepped out and he experienced God's power. Friend, if you're here tonight and you think the Christian life is boring, there's a reason for that. It's because you're still standing on the shore. You're standing on the shore. Yes, out there in the deep, the storms and the winds are raging. But that's where the Lord is. That's miracle ground. If you and I stand on the shore all our lives, we will not experience the miraculous power of God. But the moment you and I choose to step out by faith, let me encourage you, just like Peter, we are walking on miracle ground. God will do the supernatural in our lives. God can do the impossible. The question is, will we step out by faith? Lastly, notice in verse 29, as we come to a close, the last lesson to learn about walking by faith. Faith draws us nearer to the Lord. Faith draws us nearer to the Lord. Notice what verse 29 says. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. What are the last words? To go to Jesus. To go to Jesus. What a wonderful reminder that when you and I make that step of faith to step out in the Lord's according to the Lord's command, and we do what the Lord wants us to do, though we may be fearful, though we may be afraid of what will happen, faith casts those fears away and we look to the Lord and we step out and we experience them miraculously. Ultimately, when we step out by faith, we are stepping out towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how Peter's walk of faith brought him closer to the Lord. Do you notice that in the Word of God this evening? Peter's walk of faith brought him closer to the Lord. See, faith is not just about our faith. Faith is not just about you and I living victoriously. No, faith is you and I getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ, drawing closer to Him in a more personal and intimate way that you and I have never experienced before. You see, if we do not step out by faith, well, without faith it is impossible to please Him. Without faith we cannot know Him. Without faith we cannot understand the reality of His presence in our lives. You see how important this evening it is to continue to step out by faith. Please don't allow those steps of faith in your life to be few and far between. You and I need to be stepping out by faith continuously. Continuously as He works in our life, as He sends us into trials, continuously we need to be stepping out by faith so that we may experience His miraculous power, but more than that, that we may know Him, that we may be with Him, that we may say, "The Lord is my salvation," that we may say, "The Lord is my trust." You see, that's His desire for us to come to Him. The only way to do that is to step out by faith. The Lord called us up to Cairns. I kept pondering that verse, "Come up hither." And I looked at that and I thought, you know, Cairns, of all places, you know, why would the Lord call us up to Cairns? Well, ultimately, in the verse, as I looked at that calling, as I asked the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And He said, "This is what I want you to do. It's time to step out by faith." As I was looking at that, I was comforted to know that ultimately the Lord was saying, "Come up hither," which means come to me. Come to me. By stepping out by faith, you are taking a step towards me. I will reveal myself to you in greater ways. Our relationship will be much closer. I want you to step out by faith. He does that in all of our lives. When He calls us to step out of faith, out by faith, it is a call to come to Him, to the arms of His security, to the arms of His love, to the arms of His protection. Now, Peter cops a lot of flack because of what happens next. Now, you know what happens next. We don't have time to look at it tonight. We will next Sunday night, of how he sank for a moment. But the reality is, he's the only one, would you agree, that was willing to step out by faith. And brethren, please don't allow others to be the only ones to step out by faith. You see, Peter was the only one. What does that remind us of? That not every Christian experiences the miraculous power of God in their lives. Not every Christian experiences the depth of the love of Jesus Christ in their lives and the intimate relationship He desires us to have with Him. Why? Because so often we're not willing to step out by faith. Let us be the one who steps out at the Lord's command, experiences His power, and rejoices in His presence. That's what it means to walk by faith. Let me encourage you, the Lord is a Savior who's ever present. He prays for us. He is with us. Puts us in the storm for a reason, that we may know Him. But in that trial, He calls us to make a decision. Let me encourage you to ask the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do in this situation you've put me in? Lord, what is the next step? Lord, please don't allow me to jump before you want me to come. Please don't allow me to head off in the wrong direction and panic. Lord, show me what you want me to do." And then when He shows you, let me encourage you to not hesitate, but step out by faith and allow Him to bring you onto miracle ground, the miracle of walking on water.